All right, let's give the band a hand this morning. Great to having them lead us today. Thank you, PJ. Hey, go ahead and grab a seat. It's great to have you with us today. My name is Kurt, and I'm what they call a pastor here at Cross Point. And we're really excited you're here with us today. If it's your first time with us, if you're here every week with us, welcome. You know, at Cross Point, we believe in three seasons. All right, Christmas is lots of fun. Love Easter, and that carries on for a while. And then, of course, there is football season, right? Which it starts today. And so we're really excited. And in fact, took my son to a game a couple weeks ago with my wife and walked out. And I said, one of the preseason Colts games. And I said, when I retire, I will be a season ticket holder. And then I was telling one of my buddies that this morning. He sent me this article that actually talked about how, you know, there's question whether you can love football and Jesus at the same time. There's all these, you know, problems with this. And it was quite interesting. And I said, well, I guess I'm not going to heaven then, because I mean, there's a problem here, but it was interesting. You know, there were reasons both ways, but you know, it's interesting. There was a phrase in the article that said this. It said, the problem is that for too long, many people have used Christianity to make men less manly. And of course, at Cross Point, we try to communicate with men. We do everything possible to communicate with men. We want to communicate with women too. I mean, it's not like we want to leave you women out, but we realize that if we communicate to men, everyone wins, all right? And so we'll do everything possible to champion that. I'm a big fan, hope you are as well, and looking forward to that. Among other things, today we're beginning a new series as well, and so a lot of big stuff happening today. Before we talk about that, let's take out our weekly. You should have got a weekly when you came in this morning. If you are newer to Cross Point, take a look through this. There's all kinds of information. It talks about how to get connected around here, the way we roll on certain things, gives you some information on student stuff, our children's environments. Inside of the weekly is a connection card. And if everyone can grab a pen, and if you are a partner or regular attender, go ahead and fill this out. And I'm going to ask every single one of us to fill this out this morning. We just began a new database, master database, so we want to make sure we have all of your information accurate. If there are changes, do make sure you mark the box. But go ahead and give all of it to us. And then if you're a guest today, again, we're really excited you're here today, because we realize there are 100 other places. You could be tailgating today down at Lucas Oil. There's a lot of places you could be. If you chose to be in church with us here today, that means a lot. And so we want to ask you to fill this card out as well with as much information as you're, you know, comfortable passing on to us. And then hang on to this card. I'm going to ask you to refer to it later this morning, so put it someplace where you can take it out later during our service. And then at the end of the morning, this card can go in this thing in the back called the Joy Box. And this is a box between the back doors. It's for tithes, offering, launch campaign gifts, all those things, in addition to the connection card. And if you're a guest today, the only thing we're going to ask you to put in that box is this connection card, and we hope you'll come back and see us again. So while you're filling that out, a couple things going on around here. We have something called Chillin' Grills happening later today. And this is really just a chance to get together and connect with people, to chill and grill in a designated backyard. And so we have three locations. And the way this works is you pick a location there, location party 1, 2, or 3. Party number 3 is specifically for students in the grade 7 through 12th grade and their families. And so if you have a student that age, we would love for you to connect with that party today. Take your parents with you. You're going to hear some of the things coming up in our student ministry this upcoming year. The other two events, party 1 and 2, are for anyone. We have already tons of people signed up for these. Here's how it works. We provide the meat and the buns and the table service. You bring a side dish or a dessert and some drinks to put on the table, and then just chill and grill. Lots of fun and a great chance to meet and connect with people. If you're interested, mark that on the back of your card. We're last minute culture here at Cross Point. You know, we will get this in the computer this afternoon, send you an email with where the locations are. Also, coming up next week is something called, two weeks from today is something called Explore Cross Point. And this, again, is for people who are newer to the Cross Point community, or maybe you've been here for a while, but you're kind of saying, you know, I'm ready to take the next step and get more connected, more involved. You know, we'll talk about all that at Explore Cross Point. It's a place where we're just going to talk about how you can get connected when you're ready, how we roll around here, some of the reasons we do things we do. You can ask questions, get answers to your questions, hopefully. If you're interested in being a part of this, Sunday, September 22nd from 12 to 1 following this service, again, you can mark that on your card. We'll give you free lunch, free childcare, and I would love to have you join us for that. And then last thing I want to tell you about is, 6 weeks from today, we're going to begin, one of the most important things we do around here all year round. It's called an all-church journey. And this is a time when the entire Cross Point community, from the youngest of kids, our kids' environments, through the student environments, all the way up to, what we do here in the auditorium, we're going to be studying the same theme every weekend that your kids are studying. If you have kids, we're going to give you some resources so you can track your spiritual growth during the week. They're free. Everything's free. And then we're going to be encouraging you to get out of rows and into circles. Out of rows, into circles. Because we believe church is more than a 65, 70-minute experience in an auditorium, and that the best growth happens in circles. All right? And listen, there's no profit for us getting you in a circle, all right? There's no joy box in the circles, all right? Yeah. That happens here. The circles are where you grow. And so as we look forward to starting this, we need 30 small group environments for people to get out of rows and into circles. We're still going to do weekend services, but during the week, we want to have environments where people can get connected in a small group. And maybe you're somebody who has some friends that you have met here. Start a small group together. Mark it on the back of your card. It could be in your home. It could be at a Starbucks. There's a brand new one I hear that just went on up the way. Pick a place, but for 6 weeks, we'll give you all the material. You don't even have to know anything about the Bible. The material will guide you through that, and the group will lead itself. But if you're interested in hosting a group, we'd love to have you do that. If you don't know who to invite to your group, we'll help with that as well. We'll help send people to your group. But mark that on your connection card. You're going to hear a lot more about this here in the coming weeks. So, we've got a great service plan today. Excited that you're here today. We're starting this brand new series called Life Apps, and we're going to be taking a look at how, there's often this gap between what I say I'm going to do and what I actually do. And this is a human thing, all right? It's just a normal thing. And so we're going to be talking over these next 6 weeks about the difference between these two things. And to kind of kick us off, we saw this great little scene from, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel. I'm a Letterman fan, so I'm like diehard Letterman. So I think this was Kimmel that we thought just was really spot on as we start this series. Take a look.
First came the iPod, then a slightly thinner iPod, then a tinier iPod, then a taller, thinner iPod, then a taller, thinner iPod that shuffles your songs. Then a pink one, a blue one, a green one. Then an even smaller iPod. Then a wider iPod. Then an iPod you can touch. Then an iPod you can talk on. Then an iPod you can talk on with a G on it. Then a shorter, fatter iPod. Then a shorter, fatter iPod that shuffles. Then a thinner iPod you can talk on with a 4 on it. Then a gigantic iPod you cannot talk on. Then a gigantic iPod you cannot talk on that's a little faster. Then a white one. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, white! Then a thinner, taller iPod you can talk on. And now a bigger, but not gigantic iPod you cannot talk on. We're Apple, and you're suckers. Don't forget to buy a new charger.
All right, so maybe we all are suckers. I mean, maybe the reality is here's why we're suckers, because we think if we just download the app, everything's great, right? I mean, and what we're going to be talking about during this series is it's not just having the app, it's not just having the device, it's actually applying it. We're going to talk about that today. And so for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be, talking about 6 very specific life applications. All right, and if you're a Christian, these are going to be really important for you, because these are going to help you close the gap. This is going to help us close the gap between what we say I'm going to do and what I actually do. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're exploring, if you're a seeker, a looker, whatever it might be, well, I want to be a looker. I like to be a looker. If we're a looker, then this is cool for you too, because you can come and you can apply these things to your relationships, these applications to your relationships. It works in nearly every situation, relationally. And one of the things we're going to be discovering over these next few weeks is that application makes all the difference, all right? Application makes all the difference. It's not enough to attend to do something. It's not enough to just believe that, something, believing's good. But it's actually when I make the application that things begin to change. In fact, I have apps on my phone. I have a Lose It app. And the Lose It app is great only if I use it, right? Which just to help us get our minds around this, Lose It is like for me losing weight, and like eating healthy and all that stuff. And so just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever, and I want you to raise your hands on this, keep them up. All right, you can keep them up. How many of you have ever downloaded a health app in some way, shape, or form to your smartphone device in some way? All right, just keep them up. How many of you have ever bought a treadmill or bought a weight set? Keep your hands up if you raised it on the first one. All right, how many of you have ever bought an elliptical machine? How many of you have ever bought a book about healthy eating or dieting? All right, that's nearly all of us right there, okay? So think back. You can put your hands down. Think back to when you, like, bought the treadmill, the health club membership, and they're, like, taking you on the tour, and they're like, here's the pool, and here's the, you know, here's the weight room, and here's the gazillion treadmills, and or when you, like, had the treadmill actually delivered to your house, you know, you were so excited, and you're, like, highlighting that book on healthy eating, and you're going to the pantry, and you're like, we can't have this. We got to get rid of that, and your kids are like, what are we going to eat, you know? And I mean, they're, like, going crazy, and all this time, you know, you know what you felt that moment? Remember what you felt in that moment? I mean, you may have had all those experiences, but do you remember what you felt? You felt like you were getting healthier, right? I mean, you're like, just by signing up, you're like, I'm healthier. By, like, highlighting the book, I'm healthier. You went out and bought new clothes, some workout clothes. You looked in the mirror, you're like, I'm thinner already. It's working. You know, but here's the thing. We're, you know, you just hadn't seen yourself in spandex for a while, and so you looked a little thinner. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Were you healthier? It's not a trick question. Were you healthier? No, we're not healthier, right? We're just deceiving ourselves. We thought that we were healthier because it's actually the application. It's actually doing those things, you know, what we do with the application that actually makes the difference. And so that's what we're going to be looking at over these next few weeks. And one other important thing as we start this series today, if you're somebody who is new to the Bible, new to the Scriptures, new to God, I mean, you're kind of checking this whole deal out, you know, it's important for you to understand that these applications that we talk about from the Bible, all right, I mean, the things, you know, the thou shalt, thou shalt not, I mean, some of the things that, you know, bother us, we don't like very well, you know, understand that these were given to men and women from God, and these were men and women who were in relationship with God. All right, and I don't mean like a general, like, oh yeah, God created me, so I'm kind of on the downline of God. No, I'm talking like a very intentional, they've chosen to be in relationship with God. In fact, probably all of us, regardless of our spiritual background, have heard of the Old Testament. Maybe you've heard of the New Testament. Old Testament's first part of the Bible, New Testament's second part of the Bible. And, you know, the word testament actually means covenant. It means contract. And so in the Old Testament part of the Bible, you know, you have things like Old Testament stuff, like the Ten Commandments, and that was kind of God's description or God's covenant of how to live in connection, in relationship with God. Then you go to the New Testament, and this is kind of God's new covenant in how to live in relationship with God through Jesus. And so these are specifically designed for people who are intentionally in a relationship with Jesus. And so what that means is if you're, you know, just checking this out, you're still figuring out if you want to be in relationship with God, what's this whole church thing about? What's really cool for you is it still works for you, but you have to remember these are intentionally. Sometimes we don't like what they say. Well, God's talking to people who are following him, all right? So today, here's what we're going to look at. Today, we're going to take this incredible, incredible thing. Our first app is the Trust app. All right, it says Faith app in your weekly. You know, we went back and forth, faith, trust, but I really want to talk trust today. I want to talk about trust not between us and God. I want to talk about trust relationally, trust in our home, trust with our friends, trust at work, trust nationally with our government. I want to talk about what it means to trust because there's a lot of misunderstandings when it comes to what it means to trust. In fact, you know, we all know experientially this, that in nearly every single relationship, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's in the office, whether it's, you know, in our neighborhood, whatever it is, that the relationship is only as strong as the level of trust in that relationship. Because trust is the bedrock of relationships, whether it's a dating relationship, marriage relationship, whatever it might be. And there are two things that actually prevent us from trusting, that make it hard to trust, and they're this. The first is what you see. When you experience something, it causes you sometimes to mistrust. The second is who you are. So, for instance, what you see, you know, somebody, you're in a relationship, says, I'm going to do this, and then they do that. And you're like, I saw them say this, but then they did that. And you're like, all of a sudden, I have a hard time trusting them because they said this, and then they did that. And you're in a difficult place because you're like, I don't know that I trust them. And that's kind of the easy one to work through. The other part that makes it hard is who you are. And this is a little harder because, you see, we all grew up in a home somewhere, right? And for some of us, we grew up in a place, or maybe we've lived in an environment where it's just hard to trust. I mean, you've had a bad experience, you know, in the home you grew up in. You had a bad experience with your ex-husband, your ex-wife. You had a bad experience with, you know, a mother-in-law or father-in-law. You had a bad experience with your former employer. And so you, corporately, you just have a hard time trusting. And these bad experiences over time build up and they do something inside of us. They actually do something to our heart. And we learn not to trust. And so this application, this life application, that's very, very important, is something that becomes very, very difficult for us. So today we're going to take a look at one of the most famous passages of Scripture in all the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Some refer to this as what? The what chapter? The love chapter. Because if you're married or you've been married and you got married in any kind of Christian context with a Christian pastor, you probably said to your pastor, hey, I want you to read part of 1 Corinthians 13 or all of it. You might not remember it because you don't remember a lot about that day, but you know it was probably read there. And for Paul, so the Apostle Paul writes this, and he's discussing love, and he's kind of like, how do I say this? He's like, I really want them to get what it means, but I don't know exactly how to say it. And so he says, because, you know, after all, I mean, you know, I think Paul was like the original foreigner, right? I mean, I think he was like, everybody wants to know what love is. I mean, but he's like, I don't want to just like ask the question. He's like, I actually want to like define it. I want to help people understand what it means. And so he goes through this passage, and then at the very end of it, he bumps into this big issue of trust. And he's like, I'm not exactly sure how to explain this. It's not going to go over well. I mean, this is a big deal, and people are going to be like, oh, man, isn't that a little extreme, Paul? And so he's like, I've got to get the right words for this. And so here's how he puts it, okay? I'm going to read for you the pre-part before we get to the trust part, all right? So here's 1 Corinthians 13. Here we go. He says, love, and some of you are going to be like, oh, yeah, I've heard this before, been to the weddings, all right? Love is patient, okay? Love is kind, all right? It does not envy, got that. It does not boast, okay? It is not proud, okay. All right, enough already. We've heard this, right? We've heard this. It does not dishonor others. You're like, of course it doesn't, right? I mean, everybody knows that love doesn't do that. It is not self-seeking, okay? It is not easily angered, okay, I get that. It keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, that's where we have a hang-up right there, right? I mean, because some of you, you have what's called a filing cabinet. You're like, hang on just a second. You pull it out. Do you remember on March 12th, 1997, and Paul says, no. Remember, love keeps no record of wrongs. See, love doesn't even have like a 3x5 card that you pull out of your pocket. I mean, he's like, no, it doesn't have any of that. Love, he says, love keeps no record of wrong. Then he goes on. And listen, this is where he begins to get to the big idea right here. He says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now here, he's not talking about like evil in general, truth in general. He's like, this is hard to say. How do I say this? Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. And he's like, you know what we typically do? He said, for many of us, this is what he's saying right here. He says, love isn't trying to catch someone doing the wrong thing. Kind of like, aha, I found you. I caught you. I knew that you weren't going to be home at 6. You said 6, but you came home at 8. I knew you weren't going to clean your room. You said you would and you didn't. Love isn't looking for that moment right there. You know what love's looking for? Paul says love is looking to catch people doing the right thing. And he's like, but that's not even the way I want to describe it. It's not quite even that. And then he goes on. He gives us like 4 succinct statements. And he begins to get to this trust idea. He says, it, meaning love, it always protects, always. It always trusts, there's our big word right there, always. It always hopes, always, yes, always. It always perseveres. And you're like, Paul, that's a little extreme. I mean, come on. I mean, can we really all the time we got to do these 4 things? And he's like, yes, because you know what love does? Love bends. But love like leans into the other person. He's like, this is what love always does. And so love always seeks to protect the integrity of the relationship. Love always seeks to trust at all costs. Love always hopes. It's kind of like, I'm not giving up. And it always perseveres. It always goes to great lengths to bend to the other person. Now, 3 kind of statements summarize what Paul's talking about right here. First one is this. Love gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. All right, whenever there's a dilemma, whenever there's a gap, whenever somebody says, I'm going to do this, but they do this instead, love always, in that scenario, in the gap, gives someone the benefit of the doubt. All right, the next thing is this. Love looks for the most generous explanation for the other person's behavior. See, all of a sudden, someone says, I'm going to do this, and then they end up doing that, and there's a gap between the two. And what Paul's saying is when there's a gap, I'm going to give the most generous opportunity to explain why the gap was there. All right, kind of like my kids said they do this, but they do this instead. My husband said he was going to do this, but he does this instead. You know, my boss said this, but he did this. You know, there's always this gap. And he says, instead of jumping to conclusions, I'm going to give the opportunity to get the most generous explanation because love bends. Love moves toward. And then the third statement is this. Love chooses trust over suspicion. Trust over suspicion. Now, let me illustrate it this way. I want to give you a visual because I really want us to understand this. So in every single relationship, we have expectations. It doesn't matter the relationship. It could be a relationship with your kids. It could be a relationship, you know, with your spouse. This could be at home. This could be relationship with our government nationally. This could be in the Little League. This could be, you know, in you know, the neighborhood association. I mean, at work, wherever it might be, we have expectations in every relationship. And then you have what we call experience. You know, and the experience is, you said you would do this, but here's what happened. You said that this is what time you'd be home, but here's what time you actually got home. You said, you know, that this is when you'd have the project done, but here's when you got the project actually completed. And sometimes there's a gap between the two. Sometimes what we promise isn't what actually happens. And so in this gap, and this is so important right here, if you don't remember anything else today, all right, I want you to pause, doodle in, whatever you're doing, I want you to hear this right here. When there is a gap between what you expect and what actually takes place, we choose what goes in the gap. All right, we choose whether we're going to believe the best or whether we are going to assume the worst. And you're like, wait a second, Kurt, how's that me? I mean, if he said he's going to be home at 6 and doesn't come home till 8, I mean, he made me choose to assume the worst right here. No, nobody's forcing you on this, right? I mean, you're choosing whether I'm going to believe the best or I'm going to, you know, assume the worst. And the key here is this is what the Apostle Paul's talking about right here. He says, when it comes to love, which is the bedrock of any great relationship, he says, you know, dating relationships, marriage relationships, work relationships, relationships with our kids, neighborhood association, church relationships, whatever it might be, love does everything to protect the integrity of the relationship, and we have to be willing to fill in the gap. We choose what we fill the gap in with, and we have to choose to believe the best. Because when you love, this is what you do. Now listen, there are gaps in every level, every relationship. I mean, there's just gaps at home. You're like, I've told my kid 100 times to clean his room, and here's what actually happens. You know, I've told my wife, you know, we need to stick to this budget when it comes to clothing, and yet we've overspent it again. There's a gap between what we said and what we're actually doing, and we have the choice. Am I going to assume the worst, or am I going to believe the best? There's gaps at work, right? I mean, there's this gap where you say, you know, we're going to present this as a joint presentation, this big idea we just came up with, this big solution. We're both going to take credit for it. And then we get in the conference room, and all of a sudden, they take all the credit. That's not what we agreed with. You know, there's a gap here. Or we say, you know, we agree on what my commission is going to be on sales, but the company finds a loophole, and they actually pay me less. Or, you know, we agree on the purchase price of an item, and yet when the payment comes in, it's actually less. Nationally, we do this. It's become like a national pastime. We like to like argue with the other side. You know, if you're a Republican, you're like rah, 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 the Democrats. And if you're a Democrat, you're like rah, 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 the Republicans. And you're like, they said this and he said that and this senator. And you know, there's a gap. There's a gap between what we expect and what we experience. And the question is, what is going to fill the gap? The choice is yours. And here's the thing I want us to get. You and I, we have way more power at filling in this gap than we would ever expect. You have way more power when it comes to filling in this gap than you give yourself credit for. Way more power. Paul says, I want you to always look for the opportunity, always look for the opportunity to believe the best instead of assuming the worst. He's like, this is what love does. This is what trust does. In fact, marriage research shows this. It's interesting. All the research points to this. In healthy marriage relationships, both parties, meaning the best marriages out there, the healthiest marriages, both husband and wife go to ridiculous extremes to believe the best. Right? I think Paul's right. Love is blind. When it comes to love, it's blind. Paul says we do everything at all costs to protect the integrity of the relationship, which means always hoping, saying I'm never giving up, always trusting, going to great lengths to trust. Because at the end of the day, here's the reality. At the end of the day, there's nothing gained by choosing not to trust. All right, let me give you a picture of what that looks like. Here, look at this statement right here. Suspicion is an expression of rejection. All right, think about this. Suspicion is an expression of rejection. When you feel like, I don't trust you. When I get suspicious of you, your general feeling is rejection. I mean, in your relationships, well, why did you text her back? Well, why did you call him back? Well, I thought you said you were going to be home at this time. Well, you know, I thought you said you were going to clean your room up. Why didn't you do that? You know, why did you overspend the budget? Why didn't you come to my office first to talk about this big issue instead of your coworkers? Why? See, when you're suspicious, what you begin to do is you begin to communicate rejection. Rejection. You know what rejection does? Rejection doesn't open up the relationship. It closes it down. Right, it closes it down. I mean, when you're suspicious and you begin to communicate rejection, you close down the relationship. And when you communicate, I don't trust you, what you're beginning to do is shut down that relationship. You're no longer protecting at all costs. You're no longer hoping at all costs. You're no longer trusting at all costs. You're no longer enduring or persevering at all costs. I mean, listen. It's an extraordinary thing. This is an incredible thing to be able to say to somebody. And we're going to talk about this here in a few minutes. Some of us need to do this, all right, in a relationship we're in right now. It's an incredible thing to say to somebody, you know, I really want to learn to trust you. Some of us need to say that to someone in our lives right now because we don't trust them. You know, to be able to say, I want to learn to trust you. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Kurt, man, listen, if you would let me come up there and take a microphone and tell you my sad story, which is not going to happen, by the way, if you would just let me come up there and tell you my story, listen, you wouldn't even have a teaching. People would be like, oh, yeah, man, that's bad. What do you do with that? You know, I mean, if I could just tell you about my 14-year-old, if I could just tell you about my husband, my wife, my boss, my coworkers, you know, if I could just tell you about our last family vacation, I mean, it's complicated. And I'm going to address that in a moment. Okay, we're going to get to that. All right, but I don't want us to lose sight of this. I don't want us to lose sight of when the expectations are different than what actually happens in the follow-through. You and I, nobody else, you and I choose how we're going to fill in the gap. And here's the thing. Your best shot, your absolute best shot at better days in every single one of your relationships is to communicate, I want to trust you. I want to trust you. I mean, you know, this is the way we restore relationships. It begins with saying, I want to trust you. And you know, I mean, think about it. I mean, if you're in the office and your boss comes in and things have been tense between you and he's like, I just don't trust you anymore. And you're like, man, that just made our relationship skyrocket. It's amazing how great it is. That doesn't happen, right? I mean, in your marriage, you know, I mean, I hear it all the time. People are like, man, we're at each other all the time. And you know, and your spouse comes home and she's like, I don't trust you anymore. I mean, I never hear somebody go, man, our sex life is incredible right now. I mean, it just doesn't happen that way. Trust is the bedrock of all relationships, all relationships. And I think Paul, the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, look, I know it sounds extreme. I know it sounds unreasonable, but love bends. And if you want better days, the best shot at better days is to begin to communicate, I trust you. You know, for some of us, that song rings really true because maybe it's not tonight, maybe it's today. The world begins anew for our relationships because we choose to begin to say, you know, I've got a trust problem. I need to begin to say, what does it look like for me to trust? Now, before we walk down that path anymore, I want to talk about the antithesis of that. I want to look at the other side of that. What happens when I get to the point and I just can't do it anymore? The gap has gotten so wide. I mean, there's been so many expectations promised and my experience is so different and the gap just keeps widening and widening. I mean, what happens when you get there? Well, I'm going to tell you what you do here in just a second. All right, I'm going to give you some applications, but I'm going to tell you you're not going to like them. All right, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, you're not going to write these down, all right, because these are hard. These are very simple. They're very obvious, but at the same time, they're very hard to do. And so here it is. Here's what happens when you can't trust anymore. When you can't trust, you have to choose to confront, all right? When you can't trust anymore, when you're like, I just can't bend anymore. I just can't, I'm the fool, man. I mean, I just keep hanging in here. Now I'm the fool because I'm the one that keeps hoping and there's no change. There's no expression from the other side coming my way to say, I want to make a change. I feel like I'm a fool. Well, here's what Jesus said. In fact, he said some really interesting things in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 is where Jesus deals with confrontation. And it's the only time, I believe, in all of the scriptures, Jesus lays something out, step one, step two, step three. Because life doesn't work that way, right? I mean, Jesus didn't talk that way because, you know, you just generally, I mean, you know, we've talked about parenting here before. You don't parent step one, step two, step three. I mean, we've talked about parenting process, and you go from step one to step two, and sometimes back to one, then to two, then to three, then back to two, and then, you know, you're like all over the board because you're constantly adjusting, but for whatever reason, when it comes to confrontation, Jesus is like, you know, he puts a lot of focus on do step one, and then step two, and then step three. And we have to say, well, why does he do this? And I think he realizes that this is pivotal for healthy relationships. It's pivotal. It's at the core of all healthy relationships. Because whenever there is a gap between what we say we're going to do in a relationship and what actually happens, the only way to close this gap is to have a conversation. To have a conversation. Now, here's the problem. I know what some of you are thinking. We don't like to confront, right? I mean, we don't like to confront. You know, you know what we like to do? We like to gossip. We like to talk not to the person. We like to talk about the person. You're like, well, I don't do that. Maybe you don't do that, but maybe you just have like imaginary conversations in your head, right? I mean, you tell stories to yourself. Well, I'm sure the reason he wasn't home on time was because he's with somebody else. You know, we have all these imaginary conversations and we fill in the gap on our own. And you know, they come home and we're suspicious, right? And listen, when you're suspicious, it gets communicated. When I'm suspicious, it's like telegraphed. I mean, I'm not hiding it. It's known. And sometimes Julie will be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. Nothing's wrong. Oh, really? you don't have me convinced, but okay. You know, and she'll ask me again, you know, what's wrong? Nothing. You know, and so, you know, later, you know, finally she's like, you know, what's wrong? And like the earth begins to shake and the sheetrock falls in. And I'm like, I'll tell you what's wrong. You know, and it just, you know, we've kind of worked past those issues, all right? But, you know, this is where we generally find ourselves. And Jesus teaches. He says, you know, what I'm going to tell you and what many of us have learned through our own experience that is in the moment where there's a gap. You need to have a conversation. It's the first and best thing to do. And are you ready? I'm going to give you how to have a conversation. Here's what it looks like. It's just like this right here. Confrontation is asking for an explanation and assuming there's a good one. Just ask for an explanation and assume it's a good one. Now, this is not trusting. All right, what this is doing is saying, I'm going to ask you because you said you were going to do this, and this is what actually happened. You said you were going to give me a raise, but I didn't get one, and I'm going to assume there's a reason. Maybe we have a shortfall. I'm going to assume there's a reason, but I'm going to ask you why my expectations and experience don't match up, and I'm going to assume, I'm going to give you a benefit of the doubt until I find out the facts. See, so many times we fill in the gap without knowing the facts, and you know what this is called? This is called communication. And what this is doing is saying, I'm going to do everything possible to protect the relationship. I'm going to do everything possible to bend toward the other person. I'm going to do everything possible to give a generous opportunity to you know, protect this relationship and do everything possible within my power to trust and hope and persevere, even if things aren't quite matching up. All right? And again, I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, Kurt, come on, Kurt, I don't do this well. Listen, good news for you. Good news, all right? Most people aren't, all right? 5 to 8% of the world are great at confrontation. The rest of us aren't, all right? And here's the thing, though. I mean, those 5 to 8%, I mean, listen, have you ever had a confrontation with somebody that's really good at it? I mean, it's not fun, right? I mean, they bring like a red pen and a list and an attorney, and they're like there to kill. It is not fun, right? But I mean, the rest of us, we have to grow in this. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're not good at it, if you feel like you're not good, you're probably going to do really well. You're probably going to be, because you know what it's like to be on the other side. And here's what I think you're going to find. What I've discovered as I've grown in confrontation myself, and I think you'll find the same is true, is when I have to confront someone and say, you know, my expectations of what was going to happen are different than what I actually experienced. Help me understand what took place right here. Usually when I ask that question, I go, oh, yeah, oh, I didn't even think of that. And they're like, well, you should have asked, like sooner, you know, because they could see it stewing in me, right? And usually there's like a generous explanation, right? I've just discovered that. And so to sum it up, in every relationship, we have expectations and experience. Again, the key, you and I choose what we put in the gap. It's our choice. Nobody forces us. We assume the worst where we believe the best. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, if we're talking about love, if we're talking about relationships that are important, then we always should believe the best. All right, so I want to give us, this is an app series. I want to give us five applications on this real quick. We're going to shoot through these real fast. They're printed in your weekly. All right, so you don't even need to write these down, but these are key. These are five commitments that if you say, you know, I want to grow in trusting, then these are five commitments you need to make today. You need to look at these. You need to say, I'm going to commit to be this kind of person. All right, and think about if these were lived out nationally in our country, how our world would be different. Think about how your home would be different if you lived these five applications out. Think about how your work environment. I mean, you just process these. All right, so here's the first one. The first one is this. When there's a gap between what I expected and what I have experienced, I'm going to believe the best. All right, we've talked a lot about that. I'm ahead of time. Today, I'm going to decide I'm going to believe the best. I'm going to give an opportunity for a generous explanation and because, you know, this is the bedrock. Trust is the bedrock of all relationships. All right, number two. When other people assume the worst about you, I will come to your defense. Oh. How cool would that be? You know, how cool would that be? Somebody begins to talk about you in a derogatory way and somebody comes to your defense and they stand in the gap and they're like, you know, I know that person and I'm not sure that's exactly what they intended when they said that. And I think we need to give them the benefit of the doubt. They come to your defense. How cool would it be to have that? Now, I know some of us, we're like, man, that's going to be hard. I'm not sure I'm ready to do that at home. It's going to be hard to live out at work. Well, here, let me tell you the safest place to work this out. Safest place to practice this principle where you actually defend others who begin to get talked about negatively unless you know the hard facts, and I mean know the hard facts, is, you know, if you're a Republican and you're with your Republican buddies and they're all like, rah, 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 the Democrats, and, you know, you're a Democrat and you're with your Democrat buddies and they're like, rah, 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 the Republicans, you know, and their juices are all up and they're like, we're gonna, you know, we're right and they're wrong, then just step in the gap and just defend the other side. Just say, you know, I'm not exactly sure that everything we're talking about is all fact. I think maybe we're not understanding. There's a gap between our expectations and our experience. And I think maybe we need to see what the original intentions were. People are going to be like, what? I mean, you're going to get ostracized, right? I mean, you're going to become an independent all of a sudden. You're like, I'm out. I've chosen. I've decided. I'm in the middle, right? But see, just try it. I mean, the next time you're like, somebody's like Congress, rah, 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 the vice president, you know, just step in and defend them and say, you know, that may be true. It might be true, but we don't know that for sure. I mean, these are smart guys, right? I mean, I'm guessing there's a lot we may not know, and we need to maybe just give them the benefit of the doubt in the middle. And then think about this. Think about what happens when we begin to do this at home. I mean, think about how home life changes when we come to the defense of the other person when there's a gap. Think about the office. If we begin to come to the defense of others in the office, man, this is huge. App number three. If what I experience begins to erode my trust, I will come directly to you, all right? Instead of like talking about you or to somebody else or, you know, making up stories in my mind of why you did this, I'm just going to come straight to you and say, hey, listen, here's what I thought was going to happen. Here's what I actually experienced. Can you help me understand? I'm sure there's a good reason. I'm just going to come right to you. I'm going to communicate, have a conversation. Number four, and when I'm convinced I will not be able to deliver on a promise, I will tell you ahead of time. Meaning, I have expectations that are on me, and whenever I come to the place that the expectations I've communicated are not going to be experienced, as soon as I am aware of that, I'm going to communicate those intentions and where I'm at instead of waiting for the other person to experience the gap. So I have this great little app on my phone that it kind of like I can plug in people I'm meeting with. I can put my wife in at the end of the day when I'm going home. It saved so many moments for us. Listen, it's like I put her in there and I tell my phone where I'm going and it just texts her for me and says, this is how long Kurt is before he's home. She can actually log on and like see where I'm at. Not that she needs to, but like if she sees me sitting on the highway somewhere and I'm a half hour late, she's like, oh, he must be stuck in traffic or his car broke down. Right? I mean, she doesn't have to like fill in the gap with assumptions. See, this is about This is like in every relationship, if there's a promise I'm not going to deliver on, I'm going to communicate it ahead of time. Fifth one, when you confront me about the gaps I've created, when I've created a gap because I have not followed through on a promise, I will tell you the truth. This is probably the hardest one. When I create a gap, instead of me lying about it, making excuses, I'll just be honest. I will tell you the truth. And listen, I know some of us, we're looking at this, and you're like, man, my situation, Kurt, is extreme. I mean, I just don't know. Listen, this applies to all situations. I mean, I live in the real world, all right? I know some of you think we live in Christendom, it's a little spiritual world under a tree and nothing bad happens. Listen, no. I mean, I live in the real world. I mean, I work at a church, right? Nobody ever calls me and says, Kurt, man, things are going great today. I just thought I'd call and tell you. I would love a call like that sometime, right? I don't get those calls. I get calls when people are doing really bad in difficult, complex situations. I get that. I get it. All right, but let me just say, let me tell you, last key statement here. Most people, as in most people, if you say to them, hey, I want to trust you, you know how they respond to that? They want to be trustworthy. They want to come through for you. It might require a conversation to talk about what it looks like, but they actually want to be trustworthy. All right, the average person wants to be trustworthy. So let me land this for us. Couple applications, all right, as we walk this out. Take out your connection cards. On the back are some next steps. And we're really big on application here, so we're going to bring the house lights up, and we're going to ask you to kind of make a decision. And there's two really paths I want to take for us today. For some of us, you struggle. You struggle with trust in general. I mean, you don't trust anybody. You know, if something's happened, something's bad's happened, and you just don't trust anyone. So here's your first step, all right? What I want you to do today, and you got to choose to do this, is all about you actually doing it, is I want you to say something three times. You can't do it right now. You got to do it when you're driving home or in the bathroom by yourself later, or in your bedroom, whatever it might be. If you struggle with trust, I want you to say three times, and it's got to be out loud, all right? Out loud is really important. I want you to stand there, and I want you to say, there is no place like home. No, that's not it. You can even click your heels if you want. No, here's what I want you to say. I want you to say, I don't trust people. That's what I want you to say three times. And it's got to be by yourself so you can actually say it out loud. I don't trust people. I don't. Oh, my word. It's me. I'm the one that doesn't trust people. I'm the one that has the problem here. I'm the one that needs to actually grow in trust. This is your first step. It's awareness. Now, for the rest of you, those of you who don't have problems trusting, listen, you like talk to strangers and trust them in 2 minutes, right? You'll pick up hitchhikers on the way home from work, right? The rest of us who are generally trusting, but you know, there's that one person, right? I mean, there's that one person you work with. There's that one, you know, sister-in-law that's just shifty in everything she does. And there's that one person, that one person that you're just like, I have a hard time trusting this person. Here's what I want you to ask yourself. What can I do this week? What can I do this week to change the cycle of mistrust? What can I do? And you're like, whoa, Kurt, this isn't anything I can do. This is them. No, see, there's a gap. And I'm asking you to say, if your expectations aren't being met with your experience, then the question is, what can you do? It might be those five applications, beginning to walk those out with that person. It might be going to Matthew 18 and going through the 1, 2, 3 steps of confrontation. But the question is, what can I do to break the cycle and to take this thing to a whole new place? Listen, this is huge. We've got to get this right. It's imperative that we get this right. All right, so take a moment, mark your next step. You know, there's a number of them there. This isn't a hard decision, all right? I mean, we generally know if we're trusting or not and what we need to do. And it might be walked out differently for each one of us. But go ahead and mark your step, and then I want to pray for you. All right, let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you that you've actually preserved this teaching from the Apostle Paul on what it means to trust, what it means to love, what it means to hope, what it means to endure. I mean, you gave us this incredible word picture, and we're thankful we can look at it in the Bible. God, where this lands in different places for every single one of us today. Some of us, I mean, we have had such damaging experiences in our, you know, earlier in our life that it has just eroded our ability to trust anyone. And God, we know you don't want us to stay there. We know this impacts every avenue of life, every relationship we're in, every work relationship, you know, marital, dating relationship, relationship with our kids. This impacts it. And God, we want to grow on this. And so God, I pray that you would just reveal to those of us who struggle with what it means to trust, God, reveal the next step we need to take today. God, for others of us who we think of ourselves generally as pretty trusting people, God, I ask that you would help us as well to know clearly what the step is we need to take, what the conversation is. Maybe how we need to be a little more pliable and bending, and it's not just about always asking why, but trying to have a conversation. God, I'm just going to trust that even in the most difficult of moments, because I know there's a lot of them in here today, and even the most difficult of situations that someone might be walking through today, that you will create clarity and that you will give us the courage to go after trust. God, just help us do it. I pray these things in your name.